Today we're going to look in Acts chapter 20, and I want to read you most of what I read to you last week. This will be Acts 20, starting in verse 17. I think that's on page 1281 if you're using your pew Bible. All right, here's the scripture from Miletus. He, that's Paul, of course, sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, "You know, from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore watch, and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" All right, let's pray and thank God for his word. Our Father, open our ears now, Lord, to the things that you would have us to hear. Show us your own good self, Lord, your will for our lives, how we ought to walk and to please you, and to be a benefit to our neighbors, our families, all those, Lord, to whom you would show the Lord Jesus Christ. May your will be done in each of our hearts this morning. Amen. All right, so yeah, last week we had a first look at this passage. Paul is bidding farewell to the Ephesian elders before, you know, he's continuing his journey towards Jerusalem. He's charging them to be vigilant, to be faithful to the calling that God has given them to take care, protect, and teach his flock there in Ephesus, right? Paul's passing the torch. Last week, the first aspect of this passage that we looked at was Paul's bravery and trust, insofar as he was ready even to surrender his life for the sake of the testimony of the gospel. Okay, last week, remember how he said, "I must go to Jerusalem. You know, I'm compelled to go. You know, the Holy Spirit has been telling me about the trouble that awaits me there, but I'm not afraid, right? I'm absolutely in God's hands." His heart's desire is not to preserve his life as long as humanly possible. His heart's desire is not to retire in comfort. All I want is to stay faithful until the end, whenever the end may come. I want to hear that well done. I want to be welcomed into the kingdom with joy and triumph. Okay, Christ laid his life down for me. I am absolutely ready to lay mine down for him and for his loved ones. Okay, honestly, if every disciple of the Lord could adopt an attitude like that, I think we would have even greater success in the gospel, right? I think rather than sort of, you know, limping along cautiously like the church often does, we would have bear much more fruit, like the Lord Jesus says. You know, we would be not so entangled in the cares of this life and the desire for wealth, right? We would bear fruit more abundantly, right? 30, 60, or 100. Okay, we need more bravery. We need to be like him, right? We need a deeper, stronger commitment, more dedication, right? You fix your eyes on the Lord Jesus and his kingdom. You set your heart's desire on things to come rather than things that now are. And just testify to the grace of the God in Jesus Christ. Okay, look at Paul's example, follow in his steps. Now today, what I want to highlight from the passage, though, is the things that where Paul mentions about his manner of life. Okay, a person's manner of life is an unspoken testimony. It's a plain testimony to the sincerity of their faith or lack of it, and the strength of their commitment or lack of it. Okay, you and I, the things that we give high priority to, the way that we treat people, how generous we are or not, the sacrifices we either are or are not willing to make on behalf of Christ, those are the indicators of how well our life with God is going. You know, are we keeping his commandments? Is our mind being renewed, being transformed like he wants it to be? Like, is our faith evident by what people can see in us? Okay, it's one thing to tell people that you think you're saved. It's another to show it, right? And you would say, I think James might say, show me your faith by your manner of life. Okay, so I want you to see two times in this passage where Paul says, you know. Okay, you know me, friends. You know how I've lived. In verse 18 is the first one. Okay, you know. And in verse 34 is the second one. Okay, you yourselves know, my brothers, my manner of life. You know I'm not just tooting my own horn without any evidence. You've watched me for 3 years. Okay, it's no secret how I conducted myself the whole time that I was with you. And this is important. Does anybody have a legitimate reason to doubt Paul's testimony, Paul's doctrine, right? Can anybody call his teaching into question because of his character flaws? Like, has he ever acted suspicious among us? You know, is he lazy? Is he a moocher? Is he lining his pockets? Does he, like, flirt with the women or say inappropriate things? Does he have, like, anger issues? Is he stuck up, like he's better than everybody? You know, if you question him on something, is he like sometimes you get the feeling he doesn't really know what he's talking about, so he just kind of, you know, talks until you get tired of listening. Like, are we sure we can trust this man? Okay, so I want to pick out three sections of this. So the first is verses 18 to 21. The second one is down in 26 and 27. And then the third one will be 33 to 35. Okay, so starting in verse 18, right? You know from the first day that I came to Asia in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility. Okay, that's first. I didn't come to Ephesus to be served. I came to serve, right? I have a master. I'm not my own master, and really I'm not your master. You know, I'm a servant. I serve the Lord. You can read that in the first verse of Galatians, where Paul says, Paul, an apostle, sent not by man, but by Jesus Christ and by God the Father. Okay, I came to you because I was sent. I have a duty to discharge, right? There's a burden laid upon me to preach the gospel, right? And remember, it's the gospel, right? Woe to me or to anybody else if they preach you any other gospel than the one that was laid upon me and I was sent to you to preach it. Okay, the Lord laid hold of me, he sent me, and if I command you anything, it's only, you know, what the Lord has said to command you. Like, I only command things that are profitable. It's not me I want you to follow, it's Christ. You know how he said, who even is Paul? Like, who is Paul? Who even is Apollos other than servants? They're only servants that have brought you to believe, right? We're serving the Lord. Okay, I'm here serving the Lord. He says, with all humility. Okay, brothers, you know, I never expected any of you to wait on me hand and foot. I never expected to be regarded as superior in any way. I didn't expect to have special privileges among you. Like, I never thought myself too good for anybody. You know, even the slaves who are among you. You know, even the children who are among you. Or an old lady. Or an ex-con. Or an ex-prostitute, right? I've treated each one of you with tenderness, dignity, respect, a smile, patience. Okay, I've given my time to you and to your families. Because all people are precious, right? People are precious, and Christ died for us all. And not only that, you know, I'm aware of the immense grace that God showed to me, a sinner. And what do I have to boast about? You know, how am I better than you? You know, he says, I'm the least of the apostles. Remember him saying, I'm the least of the apostles. I don't even deserve to be called an apostle because I was a blasphemer and a violent man and an insolent man. Right, I persecuted the church. I'm a guilty man. But for that very reason, Christ had mercy on me so that he could display in me his immense long-suffering towards sinners, so that anybody who feels like they're lost or they're unlovable or they're beyond saving, like anybody can see the great mercy of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ in me. And all I can say is, Jesus is the Savior, right? I don't dare boast in anything about myself, right? Only in the cross of Christ, and that's how I've been reconciled to God. So friends, you know me, you know my humility. And sometimes it's not just humility, it's been humiliation. So I see in verse 19, right? He says, with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. Okay, you know how I've been attacked. You know how they threw me out. I've suffered physically. I've been insulted again and again. You know, people bothering me at home. People bothering me at night. People spitting at me in the street. You know, starting a riot, throwing rocks. People bothering me at church day and night. You know, why? It's only because I'm preaching to the Gentiles that God loves them, that God will save them by his grace. And for this, right, for preaching the gospel, I get hated. Okay, you've observed my grief, my trials, my pains, and my tears. Okay, is my word not to you, not genuine and sincere? Okay, it's a very important question because, you know, if the apostles were lying, think about this. If the apostles were lying and they're just out in the world, making up a story about Jesus and, you know, making up a gospel, don't you think that after a while of being slapped and spit on and rocks thrown at you and death threats sent against, don't you think you would desist after a while? Okay, Paul is genuine in his preaching of the gospel because he knows it's true. It's touched his own heart. It's touched his own life. And if you were out there preaching fairy tales and you knew it to be, like, at some point, you know, the violence and the harassment is enough to make you change, right? Change your life choices, right? You're going to knock it off sooner or later. Okay, so his persistence in the face of pain and suffering and rejection, that's proof of the truth of his message. Okay, brothers, you've watched how I've lived. You've seen what's happened to me. You know how much I've had to put up with for the gospel's sake. And I've never wavered. Hey, I've never given you any reason to disbelieve that I've truly seen the risen Son of God and that he sent me to you to preach deliverance. Okay, not in the least. Verse 20, what else? Everything I've had from the Lord Jesus, I've shared with you. Okay, 20 says, I kept back nothing that was helpful, but I proclaimed it. I proclaimed it all to you. And I taught you both publicly and right in your houses, from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus. Okay, Have I ever kept you in the dark about any of God's revelation? Okay, his commands, his wisdom for living, his grace towards sinners. Now, you know how this is with a lot of man-made religions and like secret societies, you know, like take the Masons, for example. You know, a lot of man-made organizations withhold their deep teachings from, you know, the average disciple or the average member until you've like put in your dues for years and years and years. You know, we have these sort of secrets that only the upper echelon is allowed to know. And unless you prove your loyalty for a long, long time, usually with money, or, you know, you may have to serve, you know, a higher level member for a few years, and then maybe you are admitted, initiated into a higher level. Okay, the Masons have that, the Mormons have that, the Scientologists have that. You know, you have to buy your way up the ladder. Okay, and then eventually they let you in on their little secrets. Okay, everybody here ought to know we're nothing like that. Okay, we don't hide teachings. Right, we don't conceal the word of God. There's no like secret knowledge that is only for like if you're a big donor. Okay. We're happy to give you a Bible, right? I practically beg you to read your Bible. We preach the Word of God morning, noon, and night. I want you to, you know, I ask you, what are you reading? Let's talk about what you're reading. Ask questions, okay? You know this. You've seen how we've done this, okay? And you know how we're trying to cover the whole Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, Psalms, Proverbs, prophecy, right, the end times, all of these things, cover any subject you want to cover, right? Science and history and marriage and money and philosophy and politics, okay? It's an open book. We're an open book. And you will never hear me tell you that something is just, I'm sorry, it's too advanced for you. You know, maybe if you spend a few more years here, okay, we'll be able to talk about those things. It's just, even the Catholic Church and even the Jews are that way. You know, there's certain things that just only the real mature, long-time learners should have access to. Okay, they're too difficult for common folks to understand, and you're just going to have to trust the rabbis, or you're just going to have to trust the magisterium or whoever, and which is why they don't encourage their people to read the Bible. Okay, well, what is it that you're hiding from me? You know, I want to learn. I want to know. Okay, if the leaders are hiding the word of God, then you know, you should be upset because Jesus told the disciples, you have received freely, give freely, right? Give it out freely. Now, he's not talking about giving money. He's talking about sharing the word, okay? You've received grace of God freely. Go out and, like what I have told you in the dark, proclaim it in the light. Something I've whispered in your ear, preach it from the housetops, okay? So Paul says, I've kept back nothing that was helpful. I proclaimed you, I taught you publicly and in your houses, right? God said, let there be light. That's what he wants. He wants there to be light. 21, have I ever discriminated against anybody? Okay, you know that I've preached both to Jews and Greeks. Like I'm not the kind of man to stay among my own kind and, you know, look down on people who are different from me. It doesn't matter what ethnicity you are, right? The gospel is for you. The gospel is offered to every man, every woman, freely. But I'll also flip the card and say the other thing applies too. No matter what ethnicity you are or what walk of life you're from, you must repent and place your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Is there any ethnicity that's exempt from that command? No. Right? That's what Paul says. All men everywhere. Right? No matter what your native religion may be, it's not an exception to the rule. Your native religion cannot save you from death, can it? There's only one God who has the power of life and death, and you have to be reconciled to him. Okay? And so this is why I share Christ with everybody, whether they're Jewish, Greek, or whatever else. Okay? What applies to the Jews applies to the Gentiles and vice versa. Repentance toward God, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? You need to leave your false beliefs behind. You need to leave your deities and your spirits and whatever traditions, okay? Confess your wrongs and sins and errors to God. Give your life to his son, Jesus Christ, okay? Because there's only the one God, and there's only the one mediator between God and man. Okay, everyone is held to the same standards. Repent, confess, trust in Christ. Right, does God love everybody? Yes. How did God show his love? Right, you know the verse, John 3:16. How did God show his love? Okay, he sent his one and only son. Right, it's thus God loved the world. Right? God so loved the world. The word is thus. God thus loved the world. This is how he did it. He sent his only son. That's how he showed his love, so that we might repent and not perish. We might be saved from our sins. Okay, whoever has the son has the life. Whoever doesn't have the son does not have the life. Paul says, you know, I never played favorites with my preaching. Okay, there's no one people or one group has like the inside track to heaven. I'm an equal opportunity preacher because no one is righteous. All of us have sinned, but God gave his son for us all. Right, like the kid's song said, right? Red and yellow, black or white, precious. Verse 26 and 27, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. That's a powerful thing for Paul to say, that he's innocent of the blood of all men. Okay, in two respects. First is, you know, Paul was indeed once guilty of shedding the blood of innocent people, right? He was a persecutor and a condemner of Christians. He arrested Christians. He put them in jail. He voted against them to condemn them and see them put to death. Okay, for him to say, I'm innocent, that's quite a statement. Well, it's because of the gospel, isn't it? Right? The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Okay, there is a genuine pardon for sin, even horrible sin. And you and I, friends, need to hear that. It's important that we all hear that, because unless your own sins are pardoned, you are not going to see the kingdom of God. Now, people often try to tell me or convince me that they're good folks, right? I'm good, like try to tell me that they're religious or that they're good or they've done this or they've done that that's good. I don't want to hear you tell me that you're good. I want to hear you tell me that you're a sinner, but that your sins have been removed by the blood of Christ, right? You have received the mercy of God by the sacrifice of Jesus in your place, and you've been pardoned, and you've been welcomed into God's family, okay? That's the word justification, right? My sins are lifted off me. I am justified. I am cleansed. Okay, it's amazing that a persecutor of Christians can claim to be innocent, but he is. His guilt was taken away. That's why we celebrate. That's why we worship the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the grace of God to us through his son. Why do you think Paul wants so badly to make this his life's work? It's because he himself has received the grace of God. Okay, don't try to convince me that you're good. Confess that you aren't good. Right? That there's wonderful good news for you if you're a sinner, but you have to receive that good news, so to speak, on your knees, on your face. But the other reason Paul can declare that he's innocent of the blood of all men is because he's been so very diligent to share God's word freely in all of its details to his listeners. Okay, he can pass the torch and now say that you are no longer my responsibility. I have discharged my duty to you, right? I haven't shunned to declare you the whole counsel of God. Okay, there are a lot of teachers and church leaders who will not touch certain topics. They won't engage with the scriptures honestly. A lot of preachers only want to talk about their favorite subjects or their pet doctrines. Again, if I could speak for myself, I can tell you how much this verse means to me. Okay, I've not shunned to declare you the whole counsel of God. It shapes my own service to First Baptist. Okay, like I said, Old Testament, New Testament, major prophets, minor prophets, the wisdom, the gospels, the epistles, right? I want to see that you folks here get fed the whole thing, okay? I'm convinced early on that it's necessary for a church to be taken verse by verse through the entire Bible sooner or later, so that you can't hide from the Word of God. Sooner or later, the Word of God is going to confront your preconceived assumptions, your mistakes, errors that you've learned in other churches. Sooner or later, you get exposed to all of God's word, okay? Because he says all scripture is profitable. All scripture is inspired by God, okay? And so that's why we take the time to go very carefully through books like Numbers and Jeremiah and Chronicles and, you know, books that a lot of churches will not touch the entire span of their existence, but we find it worthwhile to go through. This is why we spent 2.5 years so far picking our way through Acts a little bit at a time, because it's so rich. There's so much for us here in the Word of God, and if you speed through it or you just kind of skim it over, you don't get what the Lord has in store for us. You don't get the riches of the Word of God. Okay, it's a cohesive book, the whole Bible. You have to know all the parts if you're going to get any one part. Okay, so it's important that you have a well-rounded diet of the Word of God. I'm just trying to make sure you get everything that is profitable, like Paul says here. God tells us right here in this passage, that's his will for us as a church. Okay, I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Okay, I want you to go through the old and the new and all of the parts. Okay, not only that, you know, we're, God willing, we're taking an inquisitive approach to the scriptures. And by that I mean, you know, we open the Bible and we ask God to speak. You know, remember young Samuel, right? Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Okay, we want you to speak to us, and we're going to try to comprehend and learn rather than, you know, come to the Bible with our own traditional understanding and sort of force that on the Bible. Okay, our traditional understanding itself has to pass the test of God's word, right? If we have church doctrines or practices or whatever, they need the stamp of approval of the scriptures. Okay, and a full understanding of the scriptures, not just, you know, a couple of verses here or there that we use as a proof text. Okay, I trust that you can see that in my time with you, that's been my desire. Okay, because I know from this, if I neglect that duty, if I'm hiding the scriptures from you, or if I'm kind of twisting them my own way, that brings guilt on me. Okay, Paul says I'm innocent because I've discharged this duty to you. Okay? Woe to the shepherds who won't feed the sheep. Okay, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men because I've thoroughly and plainly, in public and in your houses, presented you with the Lord Jesus, the Word of God, right from the book, as I've been commanded. And lastly, look, verse 33, as regards Paul's manner of life, 33 to 35, I have coveted no one's silver, gold, or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who are with me. Of course, he's talking about his tent making. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So, you know, not only did I refrain from taking what was yours, I gave to you, right? I worked to meet my own needs and the needs of my the men who were with me. I showed you by example that God's will for us, his children, is to be diligent, hardworking, industrious, to earn, and then to share what we've earned with those who are weak. Okay, I've done everything within my means now to be a blessing to you folks, to teach you the word, to show you Christ, to love you with my whole heart, to give you my prayers, right, even my sweat and tears, right, to share my possessions with you, to strengthen you and equip you. Okay, behold my manner of life ever since I've been with you. Okay, now I have to leave the care of the church in your hands. You know I've given it my all. You know this is the truth, and I've done my duty. And so now I charge you in the sight of God. Okay, you elders, the responsibility now falls to you. Okay, so it reminded me of something that Samuel said. You know, this is 1,000 or more years prior. You know, Samuel's an old man. He's just made Saul the king. Okay, it's 1 Samuel 12. Samuel says this to the people of Israel. Now behold, I am old and gray. I have walked before you from my childhood to this day. Right, since I was three, I served the Lord in your presence, Samuel says. Here I am, witness against me, here in the presence of the Lord and before his anointed king. Whose ox did I ever take, or whose donkey, or whom have I cheated? Which one of you have I oppressed, or from whose hand have I taken a bribe to blind my eyes? I will restore it to you. They said, you have never cheated us or oppressed anyone, nor have you taken anything from any man's hand. And he said to them, the Lord is witness, and his anointed king is witness, that's Saul, his anointed witness is witness this day that you have not found anything in my hand. And they answered, he is witness. Hey, don't you think that a man's manner of life is a terribly important validation of his words, his testimony? Okay, if I have wronged anyone, if I have cheated anyone, if I have abused my role as a preacher or as your caretaker, then testify against me and I will make it right. Right? God forbid that I should ever do anything to hinder your trust in the gospel or in the word of God from placing your full faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the truth cover to cover of this book. Okay, like I said, the torch, we've received the torch. It's now come down to us. The responsibility is no longer Paul's. He is free of his responsibility. The responsibility is now ours. Okay, it's mine as the person in charge of the Bible teaching. It's ours as church leadership. It's yours as leaders of your family or future leaders of families. Okay. Whoever's in your circle of influence, right, you have this responsibility to them. It's your responsibility as Christ's disciples. Your life is your testimony, okay, your manner of life. Like, who's going to believe you if your manner of life doesn't match your faith? That's why James says, don't just be hearers, be doers of the word. Okay, you have a witness to maintain to your friends, neighbors, coworkers, family, children, okay? That has to be validated by a correspondingly godly way of life. Okay, so it takes bravery to do it. I'm afraid to do it myself, you know. Put yourself in Paul's shoes here, or put yourself in Samuel's shoes, and then, like, issue the challenge. My friends, my family, my loved ones, testify against me. Okay, have I wronged you? Have I cheated anyone? Did I deal deceitfully with you, or proudly with you, or with prejudice toward any of you? Well, then tell me, and I'll correct it. Right? Tell me, and I'll confess it. Right? There's the promise in the Bible. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that's where the Lord says, come, let's reason together. Right? Let's put it on the table. Your sins are scarlet. I will make them white as snow. Okay? Take notice of Paul's confidence here. It's very powerful. Right? Here's a man who has flawlessly discharged his duty to God with purpose and with faithfulness. You and I, we should want to be able to do the same. Okay? Love everybody. Serve everybody. Serve the Lord with humility. Share the gospel with all you know. Right? Keep his commandments. Serve him with humility and with long suffering. Right? You've received freely, give it freely. And God help us. Right? May God strengthen us to do his will now and to the end of our days. With that, let's pray. And you know what the word says. You know, if the Lord said, if your brother has something against you, right? If you have something against a brother, well, let's work it out. Okay, let's testify, let's clear it up, let's bring it to the Lord God, because we know he is faithful, he's forgiving, he's good. Our Heavenly Father, blessed be your name. You only are righteous, O Lord God. You only, Lord Jesus Christ, are perfect and sinless. We would do your will, Lord. We would be reconciled to our brother, to our sister, to our neighbor. We know, dear Father, that it is your will for us that we would live blamelessly and holy and righteously in this present life until the Lord Jesus should come again. Forgive us our debts. We forgive our debtors. Blessed be your name, Lord Jesus Christ. May you form your perfect spirit, your own likeness within each of our hearts. And may we be well-pleasing to you in every way, body, soul, and spirit. In Jesus Christ we pray, amen.